Greetings, comrades, and welcome to the Eastern Border. We welcome you with another edition of our Ukrainian war news. And also, I'd like to say that our big, actually edited episode is sent off to Alate, and I think you'll find it interesting. We will compare studies of Ukrainian soldier on the ground with what Putin's daughter has to say about this whole war. It's going to be interesting. But today, well, not sure how happy all this is going to go, but a lot of things have happened, and there's a lot of things that we also kind of need to think about a bit. And we have some confirmations about some other stuff. But most important news that are happening concerning the war up until this point. Joe Biden has now signed a bill about, you know, giving $40 billion of aid to Ukraine, which is excellent. And, well, despite all the other mess, I think that that's happening. However, in context of this, this is our first kind of thing, because the New York Times published an article where they basically stated that any victory of Kiev over Russia is impossible and Ukraine will not return their territories. And they state that if this conflict will lead to real discussions, then it's the Ukrainian leaders will have to take their painful decision about their territories. Meanwhile, Zelensky has stated that that, you know, Ukraine will consider it a win to return to pre-24th of February thing. I believe Ukraine will, you know, grab a bit more. Because I honestly believe that this war will end with Russia just collapsing, and I don't think Putin's regime will survive this. New York Times presume that the regime is super stable and that, you know, there won't be any mass protests or anything. I kind of don't like this, because if you've listened to my previous episodes about Buryatia and all these places, yeah, doesn't seem that way. And on Twitter, I read your comments, and some of you have unsubscribed from New York Times because of this. And, well, I guess that's one way how to share your attitude. But really, I can't really agree to what New York Times is saying here. However, there's a guy that totally agrees. Our good old buddy Igor Girkin, who, by the way, hasn't really unleashed a new kind of dose of, you know, by the hour events. But as soon as he does, I'll let you know. However, Igor Girkin states that he agrees almost completely with the article, except the very last line of it. There are signs of this that even in the highest echelons of Russian power, this is being understood. And this is kind of weird, because I'm reading the New York Times article in Russian. I'm reading this because I don't have to pay for it. So, as usually I would translate material, this just feels weird when I'm translating a translation. So, sorry if I make some things wrong. It's just that, you know, I don't have the cash to get New York Times subscription, and I'm not really sure if I want to get one now. Anyway, Girkin claims that he doesn't really see any signs of Russian leadership understanding the fact that they definitely are going to have to, you know, that they'll be the ones getting territories, because he states that all the people running in power in Russia are guilty on like three things. One, the betrayal of 2014. What he considers the betrayal of 2014 is the fact that Russia didn't full-on went to war back then, and that they didn't enter their military forces in Ukraine, and that the Donbas ended how it did. Secondly, too, they were also a part of in a campaign over the Minsk agreements, which Girkin states that they really, you know, worked only for Ukraine. And three, the most important part, these guys, everyone who was responsible for this complete failure at the first stage of this, as he calls it, special military operation, are still in their own places and they continue to rule. And he comments that with such super talented leadership, we can't win this heavy war. They need to go. And also, I kind of agree with Girkin on this point, because New York Times presumes that everyone, I don't know, for whatever reason, they still apply the charity principle to Russian leadership. And as you'll hear in the edited episode, the story is about leadership on the ground and what we've heard from Putin. I mean, they still somehow think that guys up there are competent. It's just kind of like I said, like BBC stated about the 96 hours. So I'm not buying this. But further on with the news. Well, basically, we have some more data and more information about the explosion, the shot explosion of Kramatorsk. Remember a while ago there was like rockets that were shelling this train station where people were trying to evacuate, and apparently that came from Donbass, from the separatists, the same guys that that Yurgirkin used to command, and you know, he well also commanded them to shoot down that Malaysian Airlines flight. So totally nice. And a petition in Ukraine. In other news, the petition basically that would allow males in the kind of the age of being recruited to go away from Ukraine has now gotten the kind of the serious amount of signatures there, and now Zelensky has to take a look at it. Now I think he actually can sign it because Ukraine has a lot of volunteers, and it would be a gesture of goodwill. So we'll see how that one turns out. Also importantly, Serbia have joined the joined the EU sanctions, but only against Lukashenko, which is kind of really interesting. But you know, Serbia is starting to feel the fact that they're being, you know, left out, and they really would like to, you know, join in and at least claim that they're on the good guys' side for once. Also, Joe Biden and his son, Hunter Biden, Mark Zuckerberg, and surprisingly enough, Morgan Freeman. Yes, Morgan Freeman. They have all been now prohibited entry in Russia. Oh, so sad. Russian Federation has now basically prohibited entry to about 963 citizens of the United States. Meanwhile, in Austria, local anarchist movement have basically commandeered and taken over a gorgeous villa of the Russian oligarch Shuvalov. They plan on, you know, using it for the public good and planting refugees there. Or just burning it to the ground, most likely. It's going to be fun either way, and the local police don't seem to be very interested in stopping them. Also, the Prime Minister of Portugal, António Costa, visited Irpin. Portugal will kind of show military aid to Ukraine in the size of 250 million of euros. And they're also, you know, showed interest in kind of after the war with rebuilding schools and kindergartens, which is really nice, because I think that, you know, all of EU are going to send companies there, and there's going to be a massive market. There's going to be massive, because in a way, I recently watched an economics video over there, and that, you know, war burns things down, but it's going to be a period of booming growth, and, you know, it's going to be, everything's going to be needed there. There's going to be a new interesting situation there, and I bet people are already thinking about the stocks that they'll buy and how a lot of people are going to get very, very wealthy. But that's after the war ends. And hey, you know, if that's going to be an opportunity, maybe, then hey, maybe Ukraine will need journalists after the war. I don't know. Also, Gazprom now have completely stopped gas deliveries to Finland because Finland didn't pay them in rubles. Or more likely because Finland and Sweden are applying for NATO and they're going to get into NATO, and I would consider them joining NATO to be, well, Putin's biggest military failure, because he kind of, in the beginning, you know, a lot of people stated that this is to stop the expansion of NATO and all this stuff, but, Finland is just a couple of kilometers away from St. Petersburg, so I would call it a strategic loss. And basically, everything's going a bit weird. In Ukraine, Adam Khamokhayev, a relative of the minister of the deputy minister of Russian Ministry of Defense, has also been killed. This is kind of the big thing. So we're seeing more deaths, we're seeing more news and everything. However, this came from Nexta, but there are some other interesting things that another Telegram channel, Vojenny Ugolok Z, or War Corner Z, which are pro-Russian, extremely, you know, they post a lot of fake news. They post a lot of fake news, they post a lot of pictures, they also claim that nothing happened in Bucha. Yeah, tell that to me, guys. I was there. I suffered there. Fun times. But they also claim some interesting things that really haven't, you know, been shown in over there. And I just checked them out because some of their news is that... So some of their news really make me worried because if what they're saying is true, then we have to move the Doomsday Clock over there. They also reported quite a lot of stuff, and they also report how Azovstal was taken. That's their most kind of thing, because the kind of the conquest of Azovstal and how there's no one left there, that's the major Russian victory, TM, even though they evacuated people from it. But what they claim is that Russian high-precision rockets under Zhytomyr destroyed a huge party of weapons from the United States and the EU. Like, a convoy that was delivering these things. I mean, if this is just posturing, it's stupid. Why would you say that? If it's not posturing, then oh boy. Oh boy. I kind of feel bad for the dumb guy who ordered this rocket, if real. It might as well not be, because they post a lot of fake news, like I told you, but... If you're going to hear about this in the news at some point, because this literally just popped up, I'm recording at 23:35 at my time, and they posted this like 15 minutes before the start of this recording, so it's weird. But if you hear about destroyed weapons convoys in the news tomorrow, please tag me on Twitter at Eastern_border, and also just please join in general, because we're trying to grow ourselves on Twitter. Apparently, it's the most successful social media platform that we have to get the message out. But yeah, that's an interesting idea. Secondly, they also claim that in Odessa, basically was a fuel depot was also destroyed with rockets, which was meant to arm the Ukrainian nationalists. Which is kind of crazy. But then again, they also mentioned a lot of news about how the wounded soldiers from Azovstal went out and how they were kind of, you know, captured inside of territory of Russia. But about that, our latest news come in. Remember, in the last episode, I mentioned the idea that was said by Nevzorov and Yulia Latynina in one of their news digests, which I try to understand, is the fact that they'll probably get tortured. You know, because... it's a big, big thing, because that's what Belarus does. Like I said, it was just in the last episode. Go listen to that one. But right now, the insider, with reference to the project Gulag Unyet, he basically states that, the curators of the internal kind of prison service are preparing, and, you know, again, this is going to involve prison terminology. Go listen to those episodes. Then again, you probably have, because I've been mentioning them all along, but it's all about the prison culture. That's important to Russia. So, right now, they're preparing presshati, basically the pressing chambers, where kind of the guys that the prison administration have basically created for the criminals they don't like to be tortured in there. And they're preparing special torture chambers and these presshati for the Azov guys. They need to basically do this to give massive punishments over the neo-Nazis and Banderovci. The source of this project, an insider, states that in the unwritten statement from the prison administrations to Bratva, the kind of the wars and the lawful thieves, there has been an order from the administration to Bratva that we're going to leave you alone. If you're going to turn into petuchs, everyone who has refused to cooperate with the administration. And look, just listen to some of my previous episodes. Do you guys who have listened to my prison episodes and who understand, you know, the Russian prison culture, turning someone into petukh is a very awful thing, and that's not going to go down well. That's the confirmation of what I basically mentioned there. Lawyers also state that even if, and this is what they're going to do, the Russian court systems are trying to turn Azov as a terrorist organization to basically sue the soldiers who fought against Russia as terrorists and basically put them into these prisons with super long sentences and to claim for internal consumption that they're the good guys. Well, Russian prison system, that is, who wants to turn them into petukhs and rape them and abuse them in massive amounts of ways. Yeah, that's going to be crazy. And although technically, according to Russian law, it will be illegal to sue them as terrorists because, well, obviously a law doesn't have, you know, the strength, doesn't have the right to basically, you know, do anything with the going back dates, but still, as we know from Putin's system, Putin's regime doesn't give a damn about lawfulness. And this is kind of crazy. So these defenders of Ukraine, they fought well and fought hard, and sure, they were the enemy, but they're prisoners of war, and now they're going to be tormented and punished, and just, yeah. My kind of suspicions about what's going to happen to them have now, you know, been confirmed. I'm not happy about the situation, but that's another one for just for a massive pile of crimes that Putin's regime is now commencing. At any rate, thank you for listening, and as soon as on the episode, we'll publish a bigger one. And please, if you like to support the show, become our patron, or go listen to this episode on theeasternborder.lv and click the donate button there. That'll allow us to, you know, donate some instant money to us for our expenses, because we're preparing for another trip in Ukraine as soon as my arm heals, because I'm going back and not going to sit here. I'm just really kind of angry even about the fact that health issues forced me to stay in Latvia for, I don't know, about another month. Wasn't planned that way. I was supposed to be kind of rushing back, though, but hey, what can you do? And, of course, donate to charities. Comebackalive.ua is my favorite one. And stay strong and stay healthy. До свидания, товарищ. And remember, happiness is mandatory.